Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I personally don't think a fertilized egg should have more rights than an adult woman.
You know nothing. You know nothing. Your ignorance is being shown for the entire world.
Either that thing that you abort is a human person with a right to life or it isn't. That's like shooting at a movement in the bush when you're hunting, and it might be a deer and it might be your fellow hunter, but you don't know. Well, don't shoot, for goodness sakes.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. It is Witness Wednesday. I'm at Georgia Tech, and we are just loving this. You've got to start going to campuses. This is, honestly, are we not seeing the results of the liberal education system these days in our society, when 53% of Americans think capitalism is better, but 47% think socialism is better? You don't think the war has been fought and lost on university campuses for the minds of young people? How do you get their minds thinking right? They need a renewing, and so they need to be saved. So you need to get to a university campus and just find kids and start talking to them. I'm sitting here on this gorgeous day, and people are, they're just sitting around watching, just doing their little thing, drinking their sodas. Some are studying. There's got to be 40 kids, give or take. And almost any one of them would talk to me, almost any single one of them. They would talk to you too. All right, let's do it. Let's do a quick survey here. Let's see if these polling numbers are true. We're going to find out whether it's socialism or capitalism. Hey, you guys, I want to ask you a quick question on the radio. I'm not going to take a lot of your time. We just saw research that says 53% of Americans think that capitalism is a better system than socialism. 47% think socialism is better than capitalism. All right, I'm just going to walk by, and you tell me which system you think is better, capitalism or socialism. We're going to do our own little survey here at Georgia Tech. All right, dude, capitalism or socialism?
We'll say capitalism.
Capitalism. All right, the Christian guys on there. Oh, on the phone. Anybody good on the telephone?
I just hung up with her.
Cool. Capitalism or socialism?
I would say just straight up communism. Can I be a third party?
Yes, you clearly.
Okay, yeah. Communism.
Now you're serious.
Yeah.
Okay, why?
I just think it would work better. I mean, obviously people are messed up, and so it doesn't work because, you know, that's just not how we're designed. But yeah, in a perfect world, I think communism would be better.
How do you think we're designed?
To be greedy. So capitalism would work better with, like, greedy, especially Americans. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just like human nature in general.
So if communism is the best system, aren't greedy people going to be running the system?
I mean, the greediest people, yeah, generally are in power, so... But that's what I'm saying. It's not a perfect world, so...
But you still prefer it.
I mean, yeah.
Do you think there should be equality with people regarding stuff?
No.
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 That's communism, though.
I think that, yeah, but that's in a perfect world. I don't think equality is ever possible.
Do you think it's the best thing?
It would be. I think, yes, in a perfect world, for sure.
Okay.
But it's not possible.
So do you plan... What are you studying here?
Business.
So you plan on going into business. You'll make, I hope, a good living, yes?
I'm actually not going into business.
What are you doing with your degree?
Well, right now I'm making about $250 a month working in a campus ministry.
What campus ministry?
One here in Georgia Tech.
What kind of ministry?
Christian.
Yeah. Christian communist ministry?
No.
No. Okay, so what do you want to do when you leave here?
I'm going to actually work in another campus ministry.
Okay, so you're a Christian, yes?
Yes.
Okay. And you want to use your business degree. So if you make more than the people you see, are you going to give them that money so it's equal?
Yes. Where I'll be working, like we share, like we live in like community housing. We share vehicles. We share most of the stuff that we use.
And that's right. And where do you get this worldview? What informed this?
I think just, you know, growing up in America, having lived abroad, being a Christian has part to do with it. I think just different like world experiences and having seen people in different circumstances, living in the city now versus growing up in just like a poor rural area.
All right. Okay, so we've got three choices. You can pick capitalism, communism, or socialism, whichever you think is the best system. Did you just sit down? Okay, you're involved whether you like it or not. Capitalism, communism, or socialism, which do you think is the best system for running a country?
Oh, goodness. I don't really have enough knowledge about...
That's right. You know what? Thanks for the honesty, though. That's better that than bluffing. Good for you. It's some honesty.
That's me, too.
You don't have enough. No. Fair enough. Okay. By the way, you're wearing a cross. How come?
Because I'm a Christian.
All right. Jolly good. And you, capitalism, communism, or socialism?
Okay. Well, I also don't have any
very much economic knowledge, but I'm going to have to agree with Cami. In a perfect world, Marxist communism would be best, but given what we have, I would have to go with capitalism.
All right. What do you think, young lady? Capitalism, communism, socialism?
Same as them. I'm not very up on these things, so.
And it's cross day. You've got a cross necklace too, right?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Young man, capitalism, communism, socialism, what is it?
I say capitalism is the least worst. I believe in a Keynesian modified capitalism where just straight up capitalism is ruthless, kind of like a Darwinian survival of the fittest. So it needs to be modified, but so yeah, capitalism in general.
Right. In general, so sort of a socialistic capitalism, which would be Keynesian.
Modified. I don't know what you mean exactly by socialist.
Okay, here's a good question for you. And if you guys can hear this, do you think it's good to have rich people pay more in taxes than poor people?
Very good, but very complicated question. I don't think it has a simple answer.
Yes or no?
Yes, in total amount, if you're talking about.
Well, it would be by a greater percentage, right? But should they have a higher percentage?
Higher percentage. I don't know.
Okay. Because if you said yes, they should, then you'd be tipping toward the socialism side. No, then you'd be toward the capitalist side.
Yeah. Because you don't want to tax and then result in a decreasing, you know, the incentives for risk
people to do stuff. All right, fair enough. All right, young man, capitalism, communism, socialism?
Capitalism.
Why?
Let people make their own choices on what's best.
All right, choices. All right, I want to go back to my communist friend over here. Young lady, got another question for you. All right, here's the question. Do you think it's ever good to coerce somebody into performing for the person who's doing the coercing? Did you follow that? Can a person in power force his muscle to cause somebody who's weaker to do something?
What do you mean? Do what? What do you want him to do?
You can have it be whatever you think, but is it ever good for an individual with more power to force somebody against their will to do something they don't want to do?
No.
Ever?
Generally, no. I mean, consider what I can think of right now. No, I don't think it's fair to manipulate other people, especially based on power, which is usually obtained unfairly.
Okay, so how's about stealing? Can I... If I've got more power than you, I overpower you, I take your money. Is that okay?
No.
Okay. When it comes to taxation, should we be taking money? Should the people in power be taking money and giving it to other people who don't have money?
I think that when I think about myself paying taxes, I don't think of it as the government necessarily taking it. I think of it as like something that the government is doing for me. They are providing services, however limited they may be.
But here's the scenario, though. Okay, the government says you make more money than the person down the street who has less than you. I'm taking your money so that they can have more. Isn't that using their power to take from you to force you to do something you don't want to do?
Personally, I don't have a problem with it because even if the government didn't do that, like I consider myself a fairly generous person, and so.
But you just said it's wrong to do that.
I do. I don't necessarily think that it's the government's place, but as a Christian, I think that that's something that absolutely needs to be done. And so, whether I use my voting power or my personal wealth to do that to provide for poorer people, that's something that I'm morally okay with.
Okay, isn't the Christian view though that it should be charity and not coercion?
I do think that, yes, charity is a major moral and value of Christianity.
Should be from the heart rather than imposed, correct?
Absolutely, and that's why when I vote from my heart, and no one's making me vote the way that I do.
Okay, so but if I'm aligning all of those things together, that doesn't sound like communism at all to me.
Okay.
I mean, it's not consistent with communism as you defined it earlier.
Right, which, like I said earlier, wouldn't work based on the way the world works because of the way people are.
Right. But that's, whether it works or not, that's a pragmatic response. But the question is it the right, is it the best? Regardless of how it works in this scenario, you still gave communism a thumbs up. But as I asked you more questions, your beliefs seem to contradict that. It actually
takes less time. My whole point is that I don't think that really any political system is a perfect way to do anything. I think
don't disagree with that, but you said communism was the best, but your worldview is not communistic at all.
Okay, so what would you like me to say now?
Well, I'm just wondering if maybe with that in view, that really you're not thinking communism is the best, or you need to change your worldview on those other areas.
I'm fairly confident with my worldview. So what
but you don't believe in coercion, but that's what communism is.
I think that communism is a system that generally if it's something that a country's decided, like based on, you know, Eastern European countries or something like that, it's a decision of the people in some cases. In some cases, it's obviously a dictatorship, and that, like I said earlier, I don't like power that, you know, people have obtained.
But that's what communism is. It's the few running the many.
And that's, I think that's fine if that's the system that the people have chosen.
But they don't.
That's
they're
an
the people.
That
they're the people
into.
In
they've chosen
power.
To live in that country. They've chosen to be a part of.
But
that.
That's not what communism is at all, though. That's not an electoral process where people have a right to vote for who they want to.
Mm-hmm. But they have the option to live there.
Okay. So you're opposed to people taking from other people to give to other people, unless it's under the government system known as communism.
I'm sorry?
It's wrong for somebody to overpower somebody, to take their money, to give it to somebody else, unless it's under the form of a communistic government.
I think that if people are choosing to live in a communist government, that that's something that they have decided and accepted for themselves when people choose to remain under that political system. If not, they have...
Wasn't the question, though. For you. You said that it's wrong for somebody to overpower somebody to take
wrong.
Their stuff. It's always wrong, unless it's a communist system.
Unless that's the political system that they have chosen to be
a part
of.
Not what they've chosen. You said you're for communism.
I'm sorry, my phone's ringing.
Yeah, all right. That's okay. So is mine. Okay, I think what we discovered is this, that young people who call themselves Christians certainly don't have a harmonized worldview. Oh, church, it's Witness Wednesday at Georgia Tech. This is Wretched Radio. Typical radio commercials will have one big shebang, the opening line. Do we have your attention now? This particular commercial has eight. Have we got your attention now? MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing, will save the average family $500 per month. Second, MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to typical health insurance. Double, that's times two if you weren't homeschooled. A massive network of providers to choose from. MediShare is the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. They've been around for 25 years. $4 billion in healthcare bills have been shared. If you call them now, you will save on the joining fee. They're going to erase it. That's another $170. This is a limited time offer, which means make it snappy. Call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE. Did I mention 844-34-BIBLE to get your MediShare quote in under 2 minutes?
Hey, we are grateful and thankful for those of you who reach out to us with your wretched stories, your questions, your comments, your conundrums, and even your snarks. You can contact us in a couple of different ways. You can send an email to idea@wretched.org, or you can leave a beep talk at 1-877-282-BEEP. Whichever way you decide to reach out to us, know that we are looking forward to hearing from you. Just like a recent email we received from Andrew, who says, I'm a 21-year-old guy who spends a lot of hours working in a recycling warehouse that doesn't have air conditioning. If not for the blessing of being able to listen to Wretched while I work 50 to 70 hours a week, it would be much harder to grow in my knowledge of Christ through the Bible. So send us your wretched stories, send us your questions, your comments, your conundrums, and even your snarks, again, at idea@wretched.org, or leave us a voicemail at Beep Talk at 1-877-282-BEEP. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
And now a message from our dear brother Paul Marty of the Tomorrow Club's Kids Bible Clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. Just in case it isn't difficult enough to do ministry in poor Eastern Europe.
2020 has been a challenging year for all of us, and especially hard for the vulnerable kids and families the Tomorrow Club serve. But support from the Wretched audience has enabled us to continue to bring a message of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the forsaken places we serve. Thank you so much.
If you are a Tomorrow Club supporter, I echo his gratitude. If you are not, would you please consider becoming a Tomorrow Club supporter? You can sponsor your own kids' club in Eastern Europe so efficiently. Just $30 per month to disciple 30 kids. Learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The book of Numbers tells the story of Israel's wandering in the desert for 40 years. The journey from Egypt to Canaan should have only taken 11 days, but Israel's grumbling and disobedience angered God, and none of the Israelites were allowed to enter the promised land.
but God remained faithful and led their children into their inheritance. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, dude, you're staring at me funny. Yes, sir. Why?
I'm curious.
Yeah?
What radio station is it?
Oh, it's just a little, nobody's listening to it. It's a little show that we do.
Oh.
Are you into radio?
Oh, yeah. I listen to talk radio.
Who do you listen to?
I listen to Rush Limbaugh, actually. Sometime.
You're a conservative.
No, I'm not a conservative.
He just annoys you.
No, I like Rush Limbaugh.
He's conservative.
Just because I listen to him doesn't mean I'm conservative. I'm not liberal nor conservative, man. I don't claim either one of those guys.
Why do you like listening to him? I'm fascinated.
Because he brings some interesting points of views that, I don't necessarily agree with everything he says, but he makes some good arguments sometimes.
Uh-huh.
So,
all right.
Bring some good information.
All righty. What's your religious persuasion?
I'm raised Christian.
Uh-huh. Are you a Christian?
Yeah, I guess, I believe in God. I'm not an atheist, but
okay. Who's God?
God is the creator, the one of the
what's
one.
His name?
God.
Just God.
Yeah.
Can I call him Allah?
You can call him whatever you want.
Larry.
Yeah, Larry. Yeah.
Okay. And Larry's gonna hear me, even if his name's not Larry.
I don't know what Larry's gonna do. No one knows what God.
Well, what if
is.
Larry doesn't exist?
What if he doesn't?
Okay, I'm gonna create a scenario for you. I believe in the great God. Larry,
right.
And I'm going to go spend eternity with Larry.
Right.
If I watch only the Three Stooges episodes that Larry,
right.
Shemp, and Moe are in,
right.
I have to watch them 2.5 times each right before I die.
Right.
And as I'm passing my last breath, I have to say whoop 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 whoop, whoop. And then I will spend eternity,
right.
with the Three Stooges, but most important with Larry.
Right.
That's what I believe is going to happen to me. Am I wrong?
I mean, you entitled to your own
that
opinion.
Was not the question. Am I wrong?
Wrong is
a word that means you're
word.
Not right.
No, it's not wrong or right. It's great.
Come on, say it with me, dude.
I mean, you're an idiot.
No,
I
was no,
not
no,
gonna
no.
say you're wrong.
So it's easier to call me an idiot than wrong.
Yeah.
This is going to be a very liberating day. What's your name, friend?
I'm Brandon.
Brandon, nice to meet you. How do you do? I'm Todd. All right,
nice
Brandon, let's
Todd.
Do this. Just say it with me. Just pretend. We'll get warmed up, okay?
Right.
You don't even mean it right now.
Right.
Just say you.
You.
Are
wrong.
Wrong. That a boy. Now, let's say it with some meaning. Come on. I believe in a stooge for a deity.
Oh, that's good for you.
Come on. And he was the mean stooge to boot. He was the one who was like, nah, you knucklehead. He was the one who was beating up the other stooges. That's not a good God to believe in anyway.
I mean, you're an idiot. That's all.
Say I'm a wrong idiot then.
No, you're just wrong.
Oh, did you just say it?
Oh, you tricked me, man.
You got it. You did it. That a boy. How does that feel? Come on. Felt good, didn't it?
Yeah,
it
felt good.
Yeah. Say it again. Come on, just let it go.
You're wrong.
Atta boy. Well done. It's okay. And you know what? I'm not offended.
Yeah.
I'm not hurt. We
yeah.
have a difference of opinion. And you
yeah.
know what you've done in saying that I'm wrong without hurting me?
What's that?
You've been tolerant.
Okay.
Because you have to have a disagreement in order to tolerate somebody.
Right.
All right. So who's your God?
God.
God.
Yeah.
All right. If you call your God's name any name, will he hear you?
If he's listening.
Okay, will your God hear me if I think that he's Larry the Stooge?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
So your God is a stooge?
No.
He's not?
No.
Oh, so he's not going to hear me?
What? I mean, your questions you ask, they yes or no, black or white.
Yes, sir.
And there's never any gray. There's no interpretation in your questions. I don't necessarily
Well, in these particular
that.
Questions.
Yeah. Religion in itself is based off of... opinions.
Okay, so in the realm of belief,
right.
There's no right or wrong. Is that correct?
The right is what you think is right, and the wrong is what you think
but
is wrong.
But we just showed, I think it's right to believe in a stooge named Larry.
Yeah, but I have a bias. Everyone does.
It's not about bias.
Yeah, no, everyone has a bias.
You're right. I'm a moron for thinking that, and I'm wrong to boot.
No, I mean, I agree.
Right.
You want
Brandon,
me to agree with your bias.
What's going to happen to you when you die? What is your God going to do with you?
No one knows. I don't know.
Well, you're a Christian. The Bible talks about it, right?
Yeah, but I don't necessarily believe in a lot of the rituals that follow all the different types of religion. I think they all the same.
All right, let's do it. Here, slide over here, Brennan. All right, let's see. Yeah. As long as you guys are standing here, how do you do, young man?
Very good.
How's
good.
The Pizza Hut pizza?
Excellent.
The pepperoni?
All done.
All right. Yeah, you know, turkey
finished.
Bacon's better. Just telling you. All right, young man, what's your name?
Austin.
All right, Austin, as long as you're standing here, I have no idea what you guys believe, but I'm going to ask you all the same questions, all right? We somehow got into a conversation about the afterlife. All right, what do you think is going to happen to you when you die? Where are you going?
Well, it depends on what you believe.
Now, where do you think you're going?
I think I'm going to heaven.
All righty. Where are you going?
No idea. Right. We may all just rot. I don't know.
Don't know. Good for you. Honest. And Brandon, where are you going?
I'm in heaven now.
You are?
Yeah.
Dude.
Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech is heaven?
Some people would say it's...
And they're making you learn that logarithm thing. That's heaven?
This crap is not heaven.
I see. All right, fine.
Peace of mind is my heaven.
All right. So you think that... So nothing's going to happen to you when you die? You're going to go to Georgia Tech?
I mean, the same thing that's going to happen to me is going to happen to everybody else. And no one knows because the dead doesn't talk.
Let's give it a test. All right? I'm going to use his holy book. He calls himself a Christian. What are you?
I'm a Christian.
What are you?
None. Nothing.
Fair enough.
Yeah, honestly, I'm nothing too, man.
But you believe in God.
I believe in God.
All right, let's work with what we got.
And that's where the book stops.
All right, then we're going to use his book. Fair enough?
Yeah.
All right, your book says you die once you get judged, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. How do you think you'll be judged? Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
You're not going to be judged on a good person.
Mm. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
I would say I have the desire to be a good person.
All right. So yes. Young man, are you a good person?
Absolutely.
Brendan?
Yeah.
All righty. How many lies do you think you've told in your lifetime, Brendan?
Tons. Thousands.
Very, very few.
But you have.
I have.
All right. Young man?
A lot.
Okay. So if I told a lot, a few, tons and tons, what would you call me? What type of person would I be? Begins with an L and it rhymes with fire.
Liar.
All right. So you're a liar and you're a liar and you're a liar?
Yep.
All righty. How many things have you stolen in your lifetime, Brendan?
None.
Zero?
I don't steal.
Uh-huh.
I don't believe in it.
Even from your Christian parents? When you're a kid? From your siblings? Ever go to work late? Download music?
If I go to work late, I stay late.
All right. So you've never stolen anything?
Okay, no, wait a minute. I downloaded some music.
All right, fair enough. What about you, young man? Stolen anything? Value of the object, irrelevant.
Yeah, I have.
All right, young man?
Definitely.
All right, so if I did things like that, you'd call me a... rhymes with thief.
Thief.
There you go, right? Rhymes with thief.
I don't know. I wouldn't want to put you in that category. I would say a thief is someone who continually does it as, you know.
How many times do you need to murder somebody before they call you a murderer?
Okay, well, that's major, right? But like,
only steal one thing and you're a thief, right? Only tell one lie, you're a liar, right?
Les Miserables, you can reform.
I see.
There's
Jean Valjean?
All right. Jean Valjean, exactly.
Okay, here, this gets a little trickier, and you're not going to be able to wiggle out from underneath this one, young man. All right, today alone, how many times have you looked at a woman and had sexual thoughts about her?
Twice.
All right, young man.
You mean have I admired the feminine form? Yes.
Call it what you like. All right, young man.
Couple.
Okay, a couple of times. So you've lusted in your heart, private thought life, certainly not moral purity. Could I call you an adulterer at heart? Not doing the act, but thinking about it in your head.
No.
No, you don't think so? That's what Jesus said. If you look with lust, you're an adulterer at heart, right?
Yeah, well, I mean...
That's what your parents should have told you.
Human. I'm an animal.
Fair enough. Well, I don't think you're an animal. I think God made you. And you look, you're an adulterer. How many times have you taken God's name in vain?
Tons.
Young man.
Many times, but I don't remember. I don't really believe in him.
That's
so
right.
I use it for emphatic, as an interjection.
I understand. Whether you believe in him or not, if he exists, that's called blasphemy. Okay?
Sure.
All right.
If he exists.
Young man.
Not very many.
But you have.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the summation. I'm going to act as the summarizing attorney right now.
Right.
By your own admission, you are all lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterers at heart.
Right.
You stand before God. It is appointed unto man once to die, then judgment, innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Attaboy.
No, let's look at his heart. Let's see what he did in
his
life.
We just did. That's all I don't believe in.
No,
you just looked into your heart.
Did you commit some things that are considered sins? Obviously, everyone has, but what good things have you done?
You'd never be guilty. Right, but the good doesn't make the bad go away. Right? It doesn't work that way in justice, does it?
Are you married or do you have siblings? Do you consider your parents aren't perfect, but you don't consider them evil people just because they've done some wrong things.
All right, hold on. Innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
All right, so if you've broken the laws, at least we can agree you're guilty, correct?
I'm guilty of breaking laws, sure.
Okay, they're God's laws. God's laws. If he exists, those would be God's laws.
If everything you say about him is right, then I've broken his
laws. Fair enough.
Laws.
Thumbs up on that. All right. So what would happen to you? Would God send you to heaven or would he send you to hell?
According to you, I might perhaps go to hell.
Heaven or hell with you?
I'm going to hell if you're right.
All righty, dude. Where are you going?
I don't believe in...
Irrelevant.
Yeah.
You don't believe in jails.
No,
it doesn't mean you're not going.
No, just... I think heaven and hell are more mental states that exist right here on earth.
Okay, let's just say there's an eternal dwelling, heaven or hell. Where are you going? You're guilty, remember. A lawbreaker. You're going to hell.
According to the rules, yeah.
All right, according to the rules, where should you go, dude?
Definitely hell.
Should go to hell. All right, so there we have it. If what I'm saying is true, you three guys are not good people, you're bad people, God judges you, he gives you exactly what you deserve, you're going to hell. All right, you said you know something about the Bible, right? What does the Bible say God has done so you don't have to go to hell?
Supposedly, he sent his son in order to die a gruesome death so that I could be forgiven.
If that is true, can you think of any act greater than that that would be kinder than that?
No, absolutely not. Because okay.
He didn't have to?
There isn't a greater love because he died for us when we were still his enemies.
That is exactly right. Well done, young man. Well done.
I don't happen to believe that, though. To me, it's like any parable or story, fable.
It's just a story.
Story of a hero.
All right.
Yes.
Right. Who's a very admirable hero, to
yes,
be sure.
Indeed. All right, gentlemen, hold on 1 second. We got to do what we do in radio. Sit tight, study your little, don't you go anywhere, Pizza Hut fella. You study your little dealy bob and your little heaven on earth here, and we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. All righty, I can't wait to get back to this. Let's take a break. This is Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, a lady in Ohio decided to take Carrie Underwood's advice. Jesus, take the wheel. But this Mensa member, well, she was going 120 miles an hour engaged in a high-speed chase when she decided to let go of her wheel. And can you guess what happened next? Yes, she crashed. There's not a miraculous ending to this story. Well, there is, in a sense. She crashed into a couple of other cars, a light pole, and even a house. But the craziest part of this whole thing was that she had a child in the car with her. But the miraculous part was nobody was killed in this incident. Not even this lady's brain cells, because apparently they were already dead. And speaking of dead brain cells, from Not the Bee, we get the story of an Australian daycare chain who operates 75 daycare centers suggesting new and game-changing parenting techniques. And listen, you're going to want to take some notes here. You ready for this? Before you change your infant's diaper, ask for their permission first. So profound, so innovative. How did we not realize this sooner? Think about it. We haven't even been considering our children's wishes. What kind of parental monsters have we been? Well, thanks to wokeism in Australia, we're all gonna be better parents now. Well, a pastor from Illinois who was recently arrested for sexually violating a church member continues to preach from his pulpit. Antoine Funches is his name, and he is the pastor of St. Missionary Baptist Church in Freeport, Illinois, and he's been charged with violating a member of his church after going to help them with an issue in June. Funches was arrested on July 8th, posted a whopping $750 bond the next day, and on July 11th, he resumed preaching at his church. He has a court hearing scheduled for August the 12th. Yesterday, a federal judge stopped the state of Arkansas from enforcing a new law that protects thousands of unborn babies by banning almost all abortions in the state. The preliminary injunction was issued by Judge Christine Baker, and it prohibits the state from enforcing the law, which was scheduled to go in effect on July 28th. Baker described the law as categorically unconstitutional because it prohibits abortions before the unborn baby is viable. The law could protect nearly 3,000 babies a year in the state of Arkansas, but apparently the freedom to murder babies is more important to some. And speaking of legalized baby murder, members of Congress introduced a new federal legislation today that would revoke taxpayer funding for federally funded colleges and universities that distribute the dangerous abortion pill on their campus. The measure has already been endorsed by 50 members of Congress, and pro-life groups will be lobbying other members of the House and Senate to join them. The issue comes at a time where the state of California is requiring all student health centers to provide chemical abortion pills by 2023. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Important dates in Christian history. 270 AD. A wealthy young man named Antony gives away his possessions and begins life as a hermit. Disciples follow his example, and the first monastic movement began. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right, here's where we left the deal, guys. You're all, according to your own admission, going to hell because you've broken God's laws, all right?
By my admission of your admission.
All right.
According to your laws.
All right, if it's true, you'd be guilty and go to hell.
If it's all true.
Because you've got a definite difference of opinion. The Bible says you're bad, but you think you're good. Well, belief, it's either, what we're talking about is either right or wrong.
Yeah, that's why I said belief, not opinion. It's stronger, it's deeper.
Right, and one of us would be wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're wrong.
Rock on! Way to go. Look, do you hear how easily he said that? It just flew right out of his mouth. You're wrong. Did you hear that? It felt good, didn't it?
It has to be. We can't both be right.
Rock on. You're not a postmodern. You are. Do you realize that? You're a postmodern.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you don't apply your thinking, though, to that book you're studying. If you just wrote down, hey, this is the answer that I think is right, your professor's going to go, eh, wrong. Right? Yeah. You got to get the answer right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a right and a wrong. Yeah. All right, so you're wrong about this whole religion business, too.
Maybe.
All right, so here we go. Okay, young man.
Yes.
You're a Christian, but you're going to hell. Is that correct?
I'm not going to hell.
Why not?
Because I've been saved.
How?
I asked Jesus for forgiveness for all my sins that we were talking about, and let's turn the other direction.
That would be repentance, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. What else?
Have faith.
Okay, so repentance and faith. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if this whole shebang is true, if you would do what he did, repent, admit you're not a good person, you're a bad guy, admit that Jesus died for you, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, turn from your sins, apologize, and put your trust in him, all of your sins forgiven, everlasting life. Sounds like a good plan to me, man. What's wrong with it?
Sounds awesome. It just happens not to be true.
How do you know that?
Have you ever spoken to God? Have you ever prayed?
Yes.
Has he ever spoken back?
Yes. It's called the Bible.
How do you... No, the Bible's a book.
It's God says that this is how he speaks to us, through his word.
He says? Did he tell you that?
I trust what the book says. That's okay, right?
No, it's not, because if you believe... If I wrote a book that said in it, God said this book is true, would you believe it?
I would want to verify it. Fair enough.
Have you ever verified the Bible?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. There's all kinds of ways to do it. It's axiomatic. It's self-attesting. It's absolutely supernatural.
How did you verify it?
Well, there's a lot of ways you can do it. Historically, it's accurate. Archaeologically, it's accurate. There's supernatural miracles attested to by eyewitnesses, not guys who told somebody that this happened. They saw it. And the big one of all is the death and resurrection of Jesus. This is the bottom line issue.
Yeah, I was thinking of that. That's the biggest one, right? Because some guy did some weird things, and then if he said he was going to rise, and then he died and rises, you know, you can't argue with that. But the people who saw him after his death didn't recognize him. Like, they didn't recognize him.
Oh, the Bible says 500 at one time saw him.
Saw him, but...
And knew it was him.
Well, okay, he was walking down...
Caused a church to explode.
What was it? I forget where they were walking to.
Road to Emmaus.
The road to Emmaus, two disciples. Why did they not recognize him?
Yeah.
If he looked the same, if it was the same guy, obviously the same guy, they would have been like, oh, hey, it's Jesus. Oh, my goodness, he actually did rise.
Yeah.
But he walked with them for a long while.
But he did reveal himself to them, and they knew that it was him. We can quibble over why that happened, but the bottom line in the story is they knew it was the resurrected Lord. They knew it. And he appeared to the disciples. Now, this is good. Let's go down this road for a second, because this is good. Because there's a difference between this story and, say, Allah in Islam, okay? Muhammad, who didn't do any miracles, because he couldn't, because he was not God, he would tell people what God told him, and they believed him. Here's the difference. Jesus was crucified, killed, and rose from the dead, and the people who wrote about it and started telling others about it were willing to die for it. See, people will be willing to die for a lie because they've been duped, but not an eyewitness, not somebody who saw it. They wouldn't have been hung upside down on a cross for something that they were making up. Somebody would have squealed, but hundreds of them were killed because of what they saw. It's the eyewitness difference that attests to Christianity, and that's the bedrock of our faith, because you're right. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we're all done. But if he did, eyewitnesses saw it, were willing to die for it, I can put my faith on that. And the whole Bible has one thread through it. Do you know what it is?
Tell me.
Forgiveness of sins through the shedding of blood. That's the whole thing. How much have you studied the Bible, dude? You know it pretty well.
I was brought up...
You were brought up in a Christian home.
Okay. Catholic, yeah.
All right.
I spent the time in a seminary, actually.
Oh, good for you. All right. Now, Adam and Eve, right? Naked vegetarians, right? They sinned. They covered themselves up. But God said that's not acceptable. The first animal that was killed was an animal that he could take the skins from to cover up their sin. It's called a type and a shadow. Did you ever remember that term? It's Colossians 2. The Bible is full of types and shadows. Fuzzy pictures of the reality which is Jesus. So we got a fuzzy picture right away in the first story. The shedding of blood by God for the covering of sins. Cain and Abel, remember the difference in the sacrifice? One was a blood sacrifice, pleasing to God. Vegetables, not pleasing to God. Do you remember the story of Abraham and his son Isaac?
Yeah, he ends up sacrificing a goat or a lamb or whatever.
Right, fuzzy picture. Remember the sacrifice of a son, of
in
a beloved
area
son?
Near where later Jesus was crucified. Yeah, I understand
type
that.
And type and shadow.
Typology, yeah.
See you, dude. All right, pretty interesting,
actually,
isn't it?
I do too pretty soon, but...
All right, we'll wrap this up. Pretty interesting that that was written 1,500 years before Jesus died. Passover, remember that story? What's that deal about?
Passover, right, the ones who, yeah, sacrifice and eat a lamb.
Yeah, the lamb would come and live with the family for a couple of weeks.
Then you're protected from the wrath.
That's right.
The oncoming wrath.
God passed over them. Right. Yeah. Do you remember the story, the Day of Atonement, when they would sacrifice a lamb for the forgiveness of sins for the people? The priest would put his hands on the lamb as if to say...
The scapegoat, right. All the sins go on the lamb, then the lamb is sent out.
Kind of amazing, isn't it? And then Isaiah 53, 700 years before Jesus was born, talks about a lamb who was sacrificed willingly for the complete forgiveness of sins. 700 years before Jesus died, along comes a guy named John the Baptist who said, "Behold
the Lamb
of God who takes away the sins of the world." And then when he celebrated that last Passover, he did the toast that was normally the toast to the lamb who had been sacrificed that day and said, "No more, toast me. This is a memory of me because I'm the lamb who died for the forgiveness of sins." That's amazing, dude. You can't get guys to agree on stuff like that. It's supernatural.
It is. It's an awesome story. Like, if it's true, it's amazing.
I want to ask
awesome.
You one question. No,
but you asked me, though, how to prove the Bible. I just did. You don't get a story like that from man. It's supernatural.
That's not proof, though.
Well, I don't know what you need. But
let me
true.
Ask you this.
All right, dude.
So say you're born in Thailand.
Timbuktu.
Thailand or... Yeah. One of these Islamic countries, and all you ever known was maybe Islamic religion or Buddhist religion or whatever else.
Yep.
That's all you ever known.
Right.
Are you going to hell?
You got two questions in there, all right? I'm going to give you a piece of information. I grew up in St. Paul, Minnesota, all right? Yeah. Here's my statement to you, Brendan. I think St. Paul, Minnesota is the best city in the whole world. And you might say to me, "You're just saying that because that's where you grew up." And I would say to you, "You're correct. I might be saying it for that reason, but it still raises the question. Is St. Paul, Minnesota the best city in the world to live in?" So it doesn't matter why I happen to believe it. The question is it true? Jesus claimed to be the way, the truth, the life.
But, I mean,
why I believe it is irrelevant. The question is it true?
According to your religion, what, half the world population is going
probably ahead. More. Because Jesus said, "Broad is the road that leads to destruction." And you know why? Because they've got enough light. They've got a conscience to know they've sinned. They've got a creation that attests that there is a God. It speaks to them every single day. And Romans 1 says they know the true God in their brain. Right. God's given you an inner light, but you suppress the truth in unrighteousness because you'd rather live your life autonomously, sinning, doing whatever you want to, then submit to God. So they suppress the truth and unrighteousness, and God gives them exactly what they deserve for their law breaking.
So how do you know they're wrong and you're right?
I'm giving you all the reasons I got.
You never will.
Well, because you don't want to.
You never will. You never will know whether you're right or wrong until you die.
I know it, but I'm trying to reason with you. No.
The mere fact that I accept and believe the existence of God doesn't mean that I accept and believe all forms of religion.
Yeah, but that's God would have to be psychotic to be all religions.
Most forms of religion teach and practice.
Do you think
the
all
same,
those gods are omnipotent and omniscient?
Most forms of religion teach and practice the same fundamentals.
Oh, they don't, dude.
They have different names for their prophets.
Oh, no.
Names for
no,
prophets,
not even
different
close.
Different rituals.
You know this, my Catholic friend.
Worship.
Hinduism, Buddhism, Mormonism. They're not this even close.
Extremely different, yeah.
They're not even the same. Dude, you just figure... All I can do, Brendan, is beg you, please. Don't say that Christianity is like everything else and satisfy yourself by going, "It just doesn't matter because it's all belief anyway." Make a decision about Jesus. He's either right or he's wrong or he's a nut. But don't just go, "It doesn't matter," because it does if it's true. So it's better for you to say, "I think Jesus was wrong. I think Christianity is a hoax," but don't say it doesn't matter because it does if it's right. Fair enough?
No.
All right.
It's not.
Oh, you're going to then you're going to be muddling around in porridge, man. You're living in a land of gray. You got to make a call on Jesus.
No, I mean, your whole arguments are biased. There's no way.
Okay, but are
no
they
way.
Right?
No, they're biased.
Of course they're biased. So what?
So you can't argue with a biased argument.
Yes, you can. It could be wrong.
And if you give reasons for his reasons against his counterarguments.
Are we on the same side? Are you a Christian now? Did something happen while I wasn't looking?
I agree with your objectivity.
Goodbye. Nice to meet you. Right. Goodbye. See ya. All right. So, dude, you studied all of this stuff, but this is always the rub, all right? And by the way, there's a big difference between Catholicism and Christianity. You know that, right?
By Christianity, you mean following Christ, Jesus Christ? It's the same Jesus Christ that Catholics and non-Catholic Christians
follow. But
about
forgiveness, there's a big difference. Do you know the difference between imputed and infused righteousness?
No, I haven't heard
those. Here's the difference.
Those two, but
okay. Imputed means this. It means that you, if you repent and put your trust in Jesus, God, even though you're a sinner, will see you as perfect. Jesus' goodness will be credited to your account, a legal transaction, Romans 3. He will see you as righteous, not just not guilty, as righteous because of what Jesus did. You will be justified, a one-time act declared in heaven for you. And then you begin the process of sanctification, growing in holiness, never perfect until you get to heaven, and Jesus changes you, 1 Corinthians 15. Right. Roman Catholicism teaches you get infused with his righteousness, you work it out, and hopefully you're perfect when you die, and if you are, you go to heaven. If you're not, off to purgatory with you. One is a work-based religion. What I'm sharing with you is Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. By grace, you can be saved through faith as a gift of God, not of works, so you can't boast. Hold on 1 second, all right, dude? Don't go anywhere. Ponder it. All right. We are at Georgia Tech. It is a Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio. If only we had a clip of Dr. Steve Lawson explaining what the Masters Academy International is and perhaps encouraging you to support it. Hey, what's this button?
The goal of TMAI is to take the timeless truths and the timeless principles that are found in the Word of God and build those into men in those countries so that they in turn can preach the Word of God and be used by God to plant churches.
Talk about providence, Dr. Steve Lawson. Commending and encouraging you to support this long vision ministry, equipping pastors to rightly divide the word of truth by going to a mini seminary, we'll call it, in 17 nations around the globe, trained by a master seminary graduate. It is brilliant. Please learn more about the Masters Academy International, wretched.org/pastor.
What is a worldview? Simply put, it's how people view the world. Not physically, though, but rather a comprehensive viewpoint on everything that exists and matters. And these days, most evangelicals have adopted a dualistic worldview, which means that they place Christianity in the realm of faith, while logic, reason, science, and even morality are fixed in the realm of reality. And the results have been pretty evident. Christians who are operating without a proper Christian worldview. In our newest resource, Wretched Worldview seeks to change all that. Todd Friel and Dr. Owen Strand gather to tackle 22 tough contemporary issues through a biblical lens that puts our Christian worldview into clear focus. Not to tell you what to think, but how to think these issues through. Wretched Worldview also comes with a study guide, which is perfect for any Bible study or Sunday school class. Order your copy today at wretched.org/worldview. That's wretched.org/worldview.
Clearly, I am not the sharpest bulb in the drawer. Nevertheless, I can figure this out. In order for a woman who is experiencing a crisis pregnancy to see an ultrasound, who 80% of the time chooses life, you've got to have an ultrasound machine. Perhaps you have the means to provide an entire ultrasound machine for a preborn center. If you do, please know the people who use these machines every day, they know their power and they are so grateful.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way.
Thank you indeed. And if you could provide an ultrasound machine or an ultrasound for just $28, please consider doing so. Preborn.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called a fragrant offering. In the Old Testament, God required burnt offerings of meat and incense as a pleasing aroma. These sacrifices foreshadowed Jesus, the perfect offering that takes away the sins of the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Which came first, the ugly feet or the Bible verse? This is Witness Wednesday, and it's Wretched Radio at Georgia Tech. Just finished up a conversation with a young former Catholic. He was studying to be a priest, didn't understand. that we are depraved sinners. He didn't understand the good news of the gospel. Don't forget, there is still a big difference between Roman Catholicism and Protestantism. The Roman Catholicism, Catholic, I guess would be the right word, system says that you get infused with the righteousness of Jesus, and then you work your way unto perfection or maintain perfection or do things to wipe out your sins as you go. That is a work righteous system. That's not what the Bible says. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that nobody can boast. That's the good news of the gospel. It is a grace-based system. Want to get to a kid. You haven't heard from this young man. We actually interviewed him earlier today for the TV show. I want you to hear from Mark the German. Hey, dude. All right. I talked to you a while ago about the law and the gospel, right?
Okay.
Tell me honestly, since you and I talked, did you even think about it at all?
I did.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what did you think?
Well, I mean, I was just thinking of what you said. So, I mean, doing my little homework assignment he gave me.
Huh?
And, I mean, it makes sense.
Right.
Still don't know if I'm church-going type, but I mean, it does make sense.
Yeah. Would you agree, if I had to ask you, would you consider yourself to be a wretched man? Do you think you are?
No.
Yeah. So you don't agree with that part?
I don't agree with that part.
Right. Do you agree that Jesus died on a cross?
I do agree.
And rose from the dead?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. If that's true, that's supernatural, mm-hmm. proving that he is God and that his sacrifice was sufficient for sins.
Okay.
Okay. If you're not a sinner who needs saving, then why did he die on a cross?
Good point.
Right?
Yeah.
Furthermore, just another challenge for you, my 3.72 GPA. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with your degree? You're an engineer sort, right?
Yeah.
You're going to take it back to Germany, right?
Yeah. Probably go back for my master's.
Yeeks. And you're going to take that technology so that Germany can rule the world, aren't you?
Yeah, probably.
It's just in the blood.
Yeah.
Okay. So if Jesus is God, if he is who he claims to be,
okay.
he says you're a wretched sinner.
Right.
So now we got a little problem here. Either he's right or you're right. 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 So what do you suppose would need to happen for you to agree you're a wretched man?
Believe the Bible. Believe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, that could be, I think, in there. But maybe a little more self-exploration.
Self-exploration.
Well, a little bit more thinking about how you've lived your... Okay, let's just say that God exists and he's done everything for you.
Okay.
That can of soda you got in your hand, God provided it. Your sweatshirt, God, air, everything came from God.
All right.
Don't you think that he's been kind to you?
Yeah.
Have you ever thanked him for anything?
Nah.
Imagine a dog that you feed, you take care of, you shelter, you make sure his dish is full, you get him plenty of exercise, little kibble treats.
Huh? Sure.
And every time you go to stick your hand down to pet him, he bites your hand.
Sounds like my dog.
Sorry for that.
He got hit in the head, though, sorry.
He got hit in the head?
Yeah, when I found him, broken leg 15 places.
Yikes!
Head bended in.
Well,
so
that was a kind thing to do. All right, imagine a dog who is about his senses, and all he did is snap at you and do even more foul, you know, do what dogs do in the middle of your carpet.
Yeah.
You know, all the nasty things that dogs are capable of doing.
Yeah.
Huh. How would you feel about that hound?
Well, I mean, wouldn't be too happy with it, but...
Yeah. Angry.
Angry, but it'd still be my pet.
Annoyed.
Yeah.
Well, I don't disagree with that either, right?
Okay.
What would that dog deserve from you? Kindness?
Yeah. I would think show it more kindness. It'll either eventually become kind or...
Right. Well, we'll work with your answer.
Okay.
God has shown you kindness upon kindness.
Okay.
And you bit his hand every single minute that you failed to say, thanks, God.
Okay.
You didn't buy your head for a meal. Probably didn't stop to say thanks for the soda. The air that you're breathing today is his.
Mm-hmm.
You're stealing it with every gulp you take and not thanking him for it.
Mm-hmm.
Think about things like that. And instead of praising him for his kindness, been kind of maybe dispassionate or maybe even aggressively anti-God.
Okay.
Think about thoughts like that.
And that brings you to the place where you start to realize, you know what, I have really been a rebel. Mm-hmm. I have not been good at all. And when you start to explore your life like that, you start to realize how not good you've been toward a very good God. That's what you should think about. All right, okay. I will, I'll give you like 8 minutes to do that and I'll be back.
Oh, you're right. Back?
Bye-bye.
I gotta leave here soon.
Look, 5 minutes.
5 minutes, all right, that's fine.
Okay, think about those things. All right. Homework. You got more homework. Okay. Now, I happen to be sitting here at Georgia Tech. Okay, sitting meaning I'm walking around. But I wasn't inaccurate, was I? Because you understood what I was talking about. Don't forget that when it comes to interpreting the scripture, the Bible uses the language of the day too. Truth in the Bible is the intention of the author and the expectation of the hearer. Okay, that diversion aside, I'm standing here at the center of Georgia Tech, where there's this little Areopagus area, people laying out in the sun, doing their school thing here at Georgia Tech. And earlier, you heard me talking to Mark, the young man from Germany. I had a chance to witness to him. Had a chance. By the way, you will see him. If you go to Wretched TV, you'll see him on TV. Nice young fellow, studying. Never heard any of this stuff. Any of it. Here he is in the Bible Belt. He's been going to school for 4 years. And he's never heard this. Shame, shame on the Bible Belt. And you just heard me say, here's the secret, Mark. You gotta come to the conclusion that you're a wretched sinner, and then the cross suddenly is good news. Now, okay, let's be honest. This is kind of forced. I'm giving him a little timeline to think about his sins. I basically have apparently just given the Holy Spirit like 4 minutes to work on this kid. But let's just see if we can learn anything. And if nothing else, it just gives me a chance to talk to the young man once more and see what's going on in his head as he's sitting here in the sun thinking. All right, dude, you're on your way to class. This is my last visit.
All right.
All right. Are you or are you not a wretched man?
By your definition, yeah.
All right. But the question is, do you agree?
I do not.
Okay. So we're stuck in the same spot.
Same spot.
All right, fair enough. Because you will never rightly become a Christian until you agree with that.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, good for you. You're good. Yeah, I like you, dude. Thanks for the chat. Goodbye. All right, see you.
Thank you.
Marty, goodbye. Okay. Way to go, dude. You are smart. He got it immediately. I can see that. Because if God is going to be glorified for his goodness, then we need to get to the place where we recognize that we need it completely, totally, and desperately. And until then, it's just a little tack on, little addition. It's a little extra. You've got that little God-shaped hole in your heart. In fact, I got to tell you, I won't tell you which one, because a lot of the contents of it were absolutely amazing. It was, just to give you a hint, we actually talked about it not too long ago. But that aside, it was a tremendous, really brilliant article. And yet inside of it, one of its arguments against atheists was basically, hey, what have you got to lose? Doesn't hurt any. I'll still lead a more moral life than you, and chances are pretty good better things are going to happen to me anyway. And I just went, no, not Pascal's wager. That's dreadful. Can you imagine? I mean, how would you feel if somebody just tried you and gave it a go as if you were the life enhancement plan? That is not what you would desire, and neither does God. He shouldn't be presented as the better option for things, or your life will get better, and certainly not, what do you have to lose? I mean, just not to completely satirize it, but why not? Okay, here's the try Jesus because what do you have to lose guy. Coming before God, certainly not on his knees in humility, in prayer, seeking mercy from him. Okay, so Jesus, I mean, I guess you could exist, I guess. And not really sure, but hey, I guess I'm in. And we'll just see how things go. And here's the way I see it, Jesus. I really don't have anything to lose with you. So, hey, as long as you don't make my life worse, maybe you make it better. This thing should probably work out okay for a season. Okay, number one, can you imagine? Yeah, He died for us so that we could come to him with that attitude. He did that amazing act of kindness so we could be blasé about it. And second of all, can you imagine that person even desiring to talk to him, serve him, worship him, and praise him when he's using him as like a rental car to see if he makes his trip better? Instead, God is the just judge. Here's the law. You've broken it. God is kind. He died to save you. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. Now you must repent and put your trust in him, and you'll know it. And whether life is good or not, you won't care because your sins will be forgiven and you'll be restored to a right relationship with him. That's the message of the gospel. I hope you've responded in repentance and faith. If not, today is the day of salvation. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.